Welcome to Resolute Conversations, the podcast where we have real conversations with real people. This is where we discuss the struggles of everyday life, our day-to-day life, and how our faith gets us through the hard times. Please welcome this week's guest, Juan Salazar, with us from deep down in South Texas. So I have Juan Salazar with me, who is in Texas. Is that right, Juan?
Yes, sir. McAllen, Texas.
McAllen, Texas. And you're doing some great things out there, Juan. This is just a great opportunity and honor to be hanging out with you for a few minutes on the air. Could you be so gracious and just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing out in Texas?
Good deal. Yes, sir. Well, my name's Juan Salazar. I'm from South Texas. And when we hear South Texas, I was at a conference not too long ago and up in Austin, Texas. And when they say South Texas, they think it's San Antonio. So for those of us that don't know much about Texas, it's a really big state. And we are way further down than San Antonio. Matter of fact, we're about 10 minutes away from the border. And if we know any show like Border Wars and all that stuff, we're at ground zero when it comes to drugs and all the crazy things that come along with that. As I know, as I've traveled to Vegas as well, and the enemy's camp is everywhere. But yeah. Just wanted to make that point. What I do out here, I'm a school teacher for this year. I was hired at a high school. I'm an English writing teacher, and I work with seniors. Before that, I had started my own company and my own project, my own calling, if you will. I was working at the prison. I was a counselor. I was a teacher. So, I've been a teacher and educator for over 20 years. So I've done every single level. I've done the elementary. I've got the middle school, which I worked the longest for about 12 years. And, wow. I worked with the program. And then after that, I moved over to an alternative center, which has the reputation of teachers getting demoted to over that type of a school. But in my case, thank the Lord, I took on that because I wanted to work with that risk. And ironically, when I was doing that, I lost my brother. He took his own life. And so here I was trying to educate the world and trying to motivate the world. During a time when I wanted to know more about at risk, since that's how we had grown up, here I was, I lose my brother, and, my life just turns around. And I took some time off. After that, got another job at another school district, which we went and just poured ourselves into the community, which, by the way, is the success formula to be not to speak highly of me, but with the help of God and a great team, a surrounding great family, we poured ourselves into everything that we do. And, we went out to a gang-infested, drug-infested part of the region where we live at, and we, with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, with services, with plays and giving out, during Thanksgiving and during the holiday seasons, just pouring ourselves into the community with a lot of volunteers and a lot of donations. God is good, man. And when we show love, no matter where the enemy camp is, God wins. And so that was a success story in itself. God called me after that through a big series of hours. To tell you the whole story, it would take forever. But I ended up getting a job as a counselor at the prison system, which was another great, great move. I took off at the highest point, I think, of my middle school career, if you will. And I got this job, which I always wanted to see and be an employee at a prison. And let me tell you, God did not let down. I must have been intimidated for about 2 minutes. And after that, I mean, it was on because my way of coming across people, which never fails, I think, because because we're straight about things. We talk straight. We do things right. We're very transparent. We let people know that, hey, I'm a sinner just as you are, man. I've committed mistakes just like you have, you know, and don't be ashamed. You're in prison. You know, you're needing some hope. You're needing some new visions, you know.
That's so cool.
So that's what we do. And here we are, man. It's been an amazing ride, and I call it God's flow. So that's what we're on.
That's right. No, that's so good. And so I want to hear also a little bit, Juan, how did you come to know the Lord? Like, when did you, what age did you encounter the Lord and surrender? And, you know, and then also kind of to know the Lord, and then to make that decision of, you know what, I'm going to serve him, not where it's easy, but where it's hard. Tell us some more about that.
Confession time, big time. This is a confession, big time. And I've had my talks with God. And I was a teenage parent. You know, I was a 16-year-old. My wife was a 15-year-old when she got pregnant. And, you know, I'm still with my wife. And so,
praise
you
God.
Know, my wife, I love my children. I'm a grandpa now. I've got a 2-year-old, you know, grandson. And believe it or not, I had these visions ever since my wife, I mean, obviously became pregnant. And I've worked ever since. I worked really hard. I came to know the Lord really early in my life. And when I say early, I'm going to say about my mid-20s. Now, the reason I said confession is because I've heard many messages. I've heard many, you know, many teachers. And, you know, if we don't remember our day, and if we don't remember our day of salvation, honestly, I don't remember it, because I did give my life to Jesus back in my 20s. And I can't even, but I remember going to this church, and I was smoking and I was drinking stuff, and I was just, you know, and it's just not a, you know, it was not where God had the intention of, as we speak right now, that's not where he wanted to lead me. So obviously, you know, he calls us throughout our life. So there I was bawling I was just bawling. I remember giving my life to Jesus, and I said, you know what, here it is. And I felt it. So, you know, fast forward, you know, we've always been church going people, but, you know, I was an undercover one. I was a part timer. I was a fake. I was a hypocrite. And I turned my back, and, you know, I was a Sunday only type of a Christian. And then I did what I did, and you know, God's been good. God's been good. But, you know, I went through cancer, and then I lost my brother, and, you know, and all these things. I lost a bunch of things. I would, you know, had a lot of money, lost everything, and all glory to him. Today, I say that. And then in the beginning of April, back in 2014, I recommitted. And let me tell you, that recommitment that I did was on. And I mean, cold turkey. It was like I just got down with the word, and I started reading. And I ever since that day, I have been waking up early. I give my time to reading and to learning, and to I just love it. And he's just used all those lessons that I've gone through, man. And you know, and all these kids that I know, and all these families, and the communities, and the volunteer work, and the volunteer, you know, things that we've done, and he's come around, and he's like made all those things just seem like life. And at the time that I was doing those things, you know, I was just being me, but honestly, he wasn't in it until you know, 2014, man, when I really
it's been sounds on. Like a big turning point in your life that season. And just out of curiosity, and for the sake of any listeners out there, was there anybody in your life at the time, whether you admire or that just came alongside you and just kind of helps you grow and give you counsel or show you, you know, what to read or where to read or any of that stuff? Is there anybody in your life at that time?
Ironically, no, but immediately there was. So let me just tell you a little bit about that. You know, I found, you know, I surrendered to Jesus when, you know, I was in a van and things were going wrong. And, you know, I had a shotgun next to my bed and, you know, I took it with me and, you know, the enemy was just trying to do his thing. And, you know, I could see my mom, I could see my children crying and I could, you know, so, you know, obviously that didn't happen. And, you know, I came home and honestly, I got to a point where everything was just going downhill and I didn't want to continue that. And you know, I went on it myself and I started just, you know, trying to open up the Bible, but really it wasn't not much. And, you know, we were headed to right immediately after that. I believe like 2 days later, we were going to church and this friend of mine, he's a friend of mine now. I didn't know him at the time, but I knew this teacher and her name's Katie Valladares. We had heard that her husband, you know, had been in a car crash and, you know, he was a pastor and he was right here in McAllen. So, you know, I had heard that story. So we're driving to our regular church which I wasn't growing, to be honest. You know, we're right behind her and, you know, that's when the conversation started. And my wife said, "Hey, look, that's Katie. That's, you know, she's a teacher and so on. And, oh yeah, Dad, her husband's a pastor. And I just asked him, "Hey, you guys want to go?" And he said, "Sure." I turned, I followed her, and like the rest, like they say, is history, man. But those few weeks, those few months, I really didn't like the guy because like every single sermon was just like hitting me. It's like, who told this guy about my life? Hey, what's going on? Hey, why? Hey, does this guy know about me? Or, you know, who shared my story with this guy? And, you know, it was just God, brother. I mean, it's, you know, I still get a little emotional when I say these kind of stories, because I don't know, he's just, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, and it sounds like just listening to you and through some of the conversations we've had, and that God's word was just so powerful in that season. I know even in my own story that when I was in a prison cell and I committed my life to Christ, I didn't have a person next to me right away. It was really just God's word. I just read it every single day, and the more I read his word, the more his word read me, and it started to change my heart and convict me of sin. And then it wasn't until 6, 7, 8, 9 months later that somebody came alongside and helped walk with me and kind of show me more scripture. But it's amazing how God just uses his word to convict and to teach and to exhort us. And that's what it sounds like even in your own life.
Amen, brother. Yes. So, you know, that's the principles that I use in teaching, sort of like blindly, if you will. But when all this happened, it was like, oh my goodness, it just, and let me say something, if I may.
Please.
One of the things, I wasn't a fake or anything. Well, I was, but it's like, I had my own style. I had my own way of speaking. I had my tribe that I could just talk freely to. And I had this misconception that God wanted me to be like totally somebody different, somebody that had to change, you know, who he spoke to, how he spoke and where he went and how he did things. And let me tell you, he came into my life and just rocked me by planting in me, you know, this identity that, no, I want you just the way you are, but I want you to be an impact. I want you to be an influence. And I want you to use your story, what you have and what you passionately speak about, and I want you to just turn this world upside down. And let me tell you, I'm not kidding when I say that. I feel like I've got this power with God that, I mean, I talk about South Texas now, and I talk about, you know, and vision is big. And let me tell you, you know, I used to be around these images and these messages that, you know, Die a Legend, Fearless, and, you know, Major Player, and all these kind of type of language. But you know what? I don't want to die a legend. I want to leave things going. I don't want to leave things behind. I want to leave things going forward. And that's, you know, for children, for my kids that know me, for the families, for the communities. And I'm in a point in my life, brother, that I mean, what he's doing in my life right now is beyond me. It is. I mean, we're going out there and just like you guys out there. I mean, and trust me, Pat, you were meant to be in my life when I was out there in Las Vegas, brother, because it was just amazing. It was amazing. I went to San Bernardino, California, and I met a brother out there who I wanted to visit because I have him on Facebook. And he told me things that only God was telling me in my heart. And then I went to Fresno, California, and I met people out there that told me only things that God had put in my heart. And then a few days later, I went to Las Vegas, Nevada, and all I did was to be a babysitter for my grandson. Because I wanted nothing to do with the mess that I had heard about, because that was my first time out in Vegas.
So what I did is I got in my truck
and I went and searched. I searched for a church, and you know what? God led me to your place, and it was amazing, because what I heard, what I experienced, and what some kids shared, and how I felt, and man, it was on. And then we came to Victoria, and we did a ministry out here at the park, and that was just, man, so throughout that summer, man, it was just, I went to four places that only God had people lined up to tell me things, for me to see things that I had had in my heart. And as far as that identity, man, I've been myself now. And when you're yourself, you know, and when people don't like how you come across or how you're saying things and how passionate and truthful and how correct and right you are because of who you are. And then the respect you give back and the love. And
yeah,
it's just a crazy ride, brother. So, you know, I'm just trying to light up as many leaders now and as many influential people. I just want to give what God's given me and. Man, it's been awesome, brother.
No, it's been so good. And I want to share this part too, is you know, when you came out here and meeting you, you know, you encouraged me as much as I got to encourage you. And it was so fun. And it's funny, that Kingdom Hustler shirt, you know, I rock mine and several people rock it. And so many people have asked me about it. And I get to tell about my friend Juan and, you know, just being a kingdom hustler and that there is a hustle for the kingdom. And there's something else that you said that I want everybody to take notice who's listening to this podcast is, you know, how you felt like you were just going certain places that was just ordinary and how, but God had something supernatural in the midst of the mundane and how God spoke to you at different places at different times. In what we would feel is like ordinary everyday life or what we would call mundane. But God met you in those mundane moments, gave you a message that really just kind of strengthened and empowered something he's put in your heart for years and gave you really just the call that you needed to go back and do what you are doing. And I just want to take a couple of minutes and have you share a little bit about Stay Sharp Outreach. Because I think it's amazing. I love seeing the Facebook feed. Again, if you guys are on Facebook, check out Stay Sharp Outreach with Juan Salazar. He's doing some great things in South Texas. Tell us a little bit about that.
All right. This ministry that was born out of many years of work. I've had the great pleasure of always working with children, working with youth, and you know, for many years now, I've had a few homes now, three homes that I've lived at, and every home that I've lived at, I've always had a gym. I've always invited people to come work out, never charge a dime, and I just never, you know, we're not about that, and you know, God's been able to help us and supported us, and you know, so this Stay Sharp Outreach, which finally we gave a name, and we've been playing around with the name and what we do out there, but As of about 6 weeks ago, we finally became an organization which we just are having an amazing time with and the revelation that God is giving us and what He's putting in our lives as we speak has just been amazing. So here's what it is. What we do is, you know, we started this ministry Day Sharp Community Outreach, and I derive it from my one of my favorite verses in the Bible, which is Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, and so it was, you know, it was
that's good.
It was born out of that, and it was actually born out of hip hop kind of thing that I grew up with, and so we put it into motion, and now what we do is we've got this building. It's at one of the roughest parts of our city here, McAllen, and people have actually questioned it, why there, and I know exactly why it's there, because God has told me there, and I actually, you know, I went and looked at the building many times before we even had it, and my wife thought I was crazy, and then you know, one day I see a for rent sign, and I call it, and it belonged to a friend, and my friend, whose son I had, you know, who I had invited to a gym about 15 years before ago, was, you know, so he knocked off some $100 off the rent, and we got a hold of that building, and what we do is we have a gym, we have an open gym, and we open it up for the youth, and we've got adults that go by, and we don't charge a dime. We have services in there, but the services are not part of the organization. So we offer leadership biblical. I call them leadership biblical services.
That's good. I like it.
In the area of the town where we're at, you say church, and right off the bat, man,
people start rolling out.
Yeah, hey man, they run.
Yeah.
And they run to the liquor store or something. Nah, just kidding. No, they run. You know, they run, and you know,
our people just bring the liquor with them to church.
Hey, let me tell you, man. There's been some crazy stories, brother. There's been some. You know, we've got homeless people that are going by. You know, we help them out as much as we can, and there. But there's been, you know, I've seen spirits not even able to walk into the building, and I've seen it. So there's a lot of stories that have happened. You know, there's elderly people that go. So we have services in English and Spanish. There's youth that are going out. Now we have got a boxing gym.
I saw that.
Our team now, you know, we go out and feed the homeless. Matter of fact, this coming Saturday, man, that high school I'm working at they're just unbelievable. So we're doing all.
Praise God.
We were at a conference last week or 2 weeks ago at Austin for a prison ministry. So that's where I'm supposed to be tonight. But I took time off for a friend, which is you. And, you know, I wanted to do this interview because God told me. So we're doing prison ministry. There's more people in, you know, that are coming on board. And there's even women asking me, hey, how about we start prison ministry? And so God's just opening up all these doors, and I'm coming across like the people that are, you know, that are coming on board. And one of the great things that my wife and I, you know, had planned from the very get go, and my conversations with God were about this. I want to stop dividing the church. You know, if we were to bond together, the church is supposed to be this non-artillery type of a big, humongous, powerful, you know, we say a government, if you will, because that's what kingdom is. You know, it is we live differently. So if we were to be together, you know, we wouldn't have as many these little groups coming up and just, you know, having their way with laws and doing things. So I think that in doing that and telling people about the kingdom of God and basing it off of that, that's what we're about at Stay Sharp Community Outreach. It's, you know, we're not going to drill it into you, but just by pouring love out to you, you know, and just allowing us to help in any which way that we can. And then, you know, breaking curses, you know, just seeing the things that could be done into your life. You know, starting off with education, you know, with parenting classes, and you know, we're looking at offering GD courses in the future.
That's so cool.
We're looking for funding, brother. We're looking for funding, and we're looking for it, you know, to come through God in through ways of the state. because our vision is big. I think if I've seen enough of the neighborhoods where we just allow people to perish, and people are not courageous and have the strength to go in there.
That's so good. Well, let me just give this plug. If somebody was listening to this podcast, is like, hey, I want to donate to you and to what you're doing down in South Texas and to your mission, where would they go to donate to you?
Okay. That's a really good question at this time. We have our center open. We are officially a nonprofit organization as we speak. We're doing a chicken fundraiser in 2 weeks, but if anybody would want to donate and help out, I have my Facebook account, which is the only thing that I've worked out so far as media. God and a friend of mine have finally put me in touch with someone that is at the moment helping us with our development of a website. Because if anybody knows me, technology and I just do not get along.
Well, if you need a contact for that too, I got a person who does great work. She's doing our website and doing our stuff, really? And I can. She gives a good deal because she's a friend and she helps out nonprofits.
That'd be awesome.
So we can talk about that. But so is it Juan Salazar?
Juan Salazar, yes, sir. In McAllen, and you could see our work there. And for the meantime, really, that's all we have.
Okay. Well, can work out the rest. Because I want people to have the opportunity to give you, but I want to ask you one really good question, before we wrap this up that I think that you as a person working, in what we would call rough neighborhoods, working, as a counselor and a school teacher, in this day and age that we live in, here's the question of the day for you, Juan, is what life lesson do you wish everyone was taught in school? If anything could be taught in school, what's one good life lesson that you wish was taught in every school in this day and age?
Wow, that's a really hard one, because there are a few that I wish, but I'm going to see how much I can intertwine with what I'm about to say, okay?
Okay.
I believe everything that needs to be taught is in the Bible. But I mean, if somebody were to ask me, all right, we can do that, but what part of the Bible would you want? I would say it's definitely Genesis. It is definitely
okay. Genesis.
God starts as a creator. We have the ability to create. God starts off as a manager. We need to be able to manage. God starts off by using a garden. We need to be involved in our garden before we can be involved in any garden. So what message would that be? The message is we were created in God's image. And he has given us gifts. And those gifts are on earth. So we are not, it's a great question, because school is a lot different than education. Schooling and education are totally different things.
Yeah,
so as a teacher, I think that I'm a very radical type of teacher, but of course I got to tone it down with and be aware of where I work. But we've gotten away, we live in a system where we're teaching. We want to test all the kids according to a test. And that's never going to work according to God. So if something were to be taught, is we've got to empower these kids to start doing what their gifts encounter, what their gifts are, what their gifts from God are. We've got kids that are creative, some like math, science, and music and these things, but we're overbearing them with past tests, and if you don't, you're a failure, and so on, and then it just has a ripple effect. And then some of these kids are living a very adversity filled life at home with drugs and all these things because of the lack of education. So because of the lack of knowledge, I'd say, man, we gotta teach that we are unique, we are empowered, everything is out there. We just need to be great managers of our life. We need to embrace knowledge and really, I can't get away from the fact it's got to be God's word, man.
Yeah.
God, God's word is the truth, and you know, he leads us the right way, and you know, he makes us in, he gets us in touch with our inner being. I like what you said earlier. You know, our the world teaches us that we need the outside in order to fulfill the inside of us. But in God's realm, it's God's kingdom, it's the other way around. He builds us from the inside, and then that allows us to look at the world differently. And we look it through the God's, you know, through God's eyes, and we look at it, and you know, and we live by the Holy Spirit, and you know, so there's
That's so good.
They call that, man, because there is a lot of need, and so we got to empower people by getting to know God, let them, you know, become good managers, and then just light fires everywhere, and just love on people, respect on people. But when they see you, they got to know, hey, this guy, I've seen him a year ago. He's still doing the same thing. This guy's still doing it. This, wow, on Saturday, this guy's still doing it. Sunday, this guy's still turning it on. Wow, next week, this guy's still on. You know, we got to lead by example, because the enemy's cap, man, he's taken away so much, and we got to get it back. So it's time to empower our communities.
That's right. I love that last part. It's time to empower the communities, you know, and that's something that we're trying to do here at Casa de Luz and then here in Las Vegas is just empower the people to live for the kingdom. You know what I mean? And especially the education aspect. You know, my wife is homeschooling and she's learning so much, but we also get the opportunity to educate rather than just teach. And with my wife and I have had tons of conversations about that recently, about how their kids learn differently in a different kind of education format than just a sitting teaching. And I think that's the way Jesus taught the disciples. You know, Amen. He didn't sit them down in a classroom and tell them that they need to just know the Torah and to write down these new teachings. He showed them. He walked with them. He lived it with them. He educated them through Amen. Both teaching, equipping, and living Amen. Amongst them. And you're doing that. In Texas, and we're so excited for you. We're glad we could partner and have this conversation, and we have support you. So last question before we wrap this up is, how can people pray for you?
How can people? Oh, okay, great. Prayer is always needed, brother. You know, throughout the Bible and in the New Testament, and God's always... God speaks in parable. I mean, Jesus spoke in parables, and you know, he said things that not everybody was going to understand. And when you do understand Jesus and his teachings and what he was about, which was the kingdom, he made it really clear that in order for us to do, you know, what God's plan was for us and what the plan was for the kingdom, it's gonna cost. And as you know, and I heard from you in the introduction, that it takes a toll. It's hard work. And, yeah. You know, Jesus says, you know, that we got to, you know, we got to carry that cross, and we got to, you know, we got to deal with the remnants of what the world, you know, dishes out. And that's always, you know, it takes a toll. It takes a toll to fight the spiritual war. You know, I'm about armor, not about shackles. And when I say that, man, you know, I've been through ups, you know, ups and a lot of downs. And, you know, so, you know, I'm always asking friends and my spiritual people that help me to always lift me up in prayer, because the battle is hard and it's real, and it takes a toll. It takes a toll. So, I mean, if there's something that people can pray over, or, you know, our project and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to live and the our identity in Christ, that be for, you know, for just to be strengthened and for the right people. You know we can't do this alone, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about me, and it's not about my wife, it's not about, you know, stay sharp. This is a God thing. This is that only Jesus can break the chains and the shackles from all these things that hold us captive. So my prayer request, if whoever's hearing out there, you know, keep me lifted, keep the organization lifted. You know, we're trying very hard down here in South Texas to deal with a lot of issues that are, you know, throughout. They're widespread. So strength. We're looking for funding. We're looking for more opportunities to serve. We're looking to to be like the kingdom, and that is, you know, to set up shop in as many areas as we possibly can, and for the Spirit of God to always be with us so that we can teach what's right, not water it down, not be out there to tickle, you know, to tickle feathers and just want to, you know, want people to feel good stuff. No, we're out there doing God's work, you know, and if it's going to offend you and you're not ready for it, you know what? We're just going to dust our feet and we're going to keep going, because when God comes into your life, he's going to make some major changes. So with that comes all this energy that's needed, teamwork. We need funding. We need to prove that, that preaching Jesus and teaching the kingdom is what we're about. And when we do that, there's a cost to that.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, I know that people will definitely be praying for you and all that you guys got doing down there. You guys can just continue to expand the kingdom of God. I want to thank you so much, Juan, for joining me on the podcast and just doing what you're doing. I appreciate those who are fighting the good fight in the midst of trial, in the midst of hardship, but we still stay in God's word. We still stay grounded. And we fight the good fight. So thank you so much for that and all that you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Appreciate you guys.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode of Resolute Conversations with our guest Juan Salazar. Thank you so much to Roman from Unfiltered Music for hooking us up with such an amazing beat. If you have never heard of Roman or Unfiltered Music, go check them out. They're doing great things in the Christian hip-hop realm. And again, a big shout-out to Juan Salazar for joining us on this week's podcast. Stay tuned, more to come.